This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello and welcome to Radio Astronomy, the podcast from the makers of BBC Sky at Night magazine. You can subscribe to the print edition of the magazine by visiting skyatnightmagazine.com or to our digital edition by visiting iTunes or Google Play.
Welcome to Radio Astronomy, the podcast from the makers of BBC Sky at Night magazine. Today, we're travelling down to the National Astronomers' Meeting being held this year in Cardiff. It's an annual event where astronomers from around the country gather together to talk about their various different astronomical endeavours.
Hello, I'm at the National Astronomers' Meeting here in Cardiff today, and today I'm talking to Alex Anderson, who gave a talk about discovering radio transients using humans and machines. That sounds very exciting. One of the particularly exciting things was that you use a data set from the particularly evocatively named Thundercat.
Yeah.
So could you tell us what exactly is Thundercat and what were you looking for?
Yeah, sure. So Thundercat in what we do is a survey taken from the Meerkat telescope. And Thundercat, as a name, stands for a slightly sort of tortured acronym for the Hunt for Dynamic and Explosive Radio Transients with Meerkat. So really, you know, rolls off the tongue. But I think it was inspired by one of the PIs of the project. Their husband was a big fan of the Thundercat comic books, and so I think it's kind of been forced in there. But yeah, I think it's a good name. And the whole aim of it is to look for different kinds of things that sort of go bump in the night with radio telescopes, basically. So we look for all kinds of systems, both in our galaxy and out of our galaxy. And my work is on searching for one interesting transient things that we didn't necessarily know about beforehand.
So when you say a transient thing, what do you actually mean?
Yeah, it's a bit of a catch-all, right? So just a radio transient in this case is just something that we see, you know, when we look in 1 week with our radio telescopes, it's not there, and then look a few weeks later and it's suddenly there. So this could be things like nearby stars that sort of flare like our sun does. This could be distant galaxies that are sort of scintillating a little bit, and just about anything in between. So it's a pretty general method that doesn't specialise into anything, just sort of stars, galaxies, anything in between, really.
Mm-hmm. And you search through your data set using humans and machines.
Indeed, yeah.
So the human part of it is a citizen science project. Why are using people particularly good?
Yeah, so we have our sort of citizen science project called Burst from Space Meerkat, which looks for bursts from space from Meerkat. And it's worked really well, and because our volunteers sort of are able to look through our data in a much more sort of thorough way than, say, I could do by myself, right? So I could say set some sort of statistical sort of test to say, oh, if the thing I'm looking for behaves like this or changes like that, that might be one way of finding it. But sort of previous tests have shown that that often doesn't get the best results, and our volunteers can find things that we wouldn't be able to find with those kind of sort of statistical tests alone. And they can basically dig through our data, you know, quickly and very efficiently, and find lots of interesting things that we wouldn't have found otherwise.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
But obviously, with there's whole new generations of telescopes coming out. And one of the big problems I know a lot of astronomers are having is just way too much data. So how are you managing to cope with that, even when you've democratized it to 1,000 people? How are you coping with that?
Yeah, so this is a really good point, right? And the citizen science work we've done so far, you know, it's very quick over the sort of sky area that we've covered with the survey. But it's not infinitely scalable, right? It's, you know, as data rates get more intense and you know, we can't expect billions of people looking at our data, even though that would be quite nice. So one of the answers is turning to machine learning techniques. So specifically, I've been using sort of unsupervised anomaly detection techniques that sort of look to find the anomalous and strange and interesting things in your data. And then I can sort of leverage the power of our volunteers to see, are the things that our sort of machine models find to be interesting and anomalous, are those the same things that our volunteers said were interesting variables and transients?
So you're specifically looking for the things that are weird? The things you're not expecting.
Exactly,
to
yeah. So we phrase it as an anomaly detection type thing because, you know, in a given patch of sky, maybe 1 or 2% of the things in that region of sky will be the interesting variables and transients. So 98% of it is haystack, and only 1 or 2% is needle, right? So that's the kind of thing we're after, yeah.
And have you managed to find anything interesting so far?
Yeah, but the volunteers have done some amazing work. One of my favorite things that they found is this thing called an OH Maser star. So this is not really my area of expertise. So I had to sort of, they found this, and I went, oh, that's really cool. Let's find out more about that. And so this is a star that slid through its sort of main middle age and is now sort of at the end of its life, and it has a sort of very big sort of dusty atmosphere around it, and the star is sort of in the middle of that dust, and it sort of it basically creates a laser in space by sort of pumping this sort of gas and dust around it with light, and yeah, so it's a space laser they basically found.
a giant space laser.
Pretty much. And it shows some really interesting behavior which we can't fully explain yet. We've got some ideas, and we might do some more observations to figure that out, and that's been a nice one to get involved with our volunteers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that one day machines will be able to completely replace humans looking through this kind of data?
Yeah, it's a good point. Certainly, using machine learning techniques and AI and so on is going to become, you know, ever more important as data gets more and more. But I don't think it can do everything. There's been some work from collaborators of mine and others that have shown that, you know, one of the best things you can do is try and use the machines and things they're good at. So doing, you know, lots of computation, you're digging through, you know, vast amounts of data. But then where the humans really excel is where, you know, where things get a bit unexpected or serendipitous or, into the unknown a little bit. So there are ways you might be able to prioritize if the machines can do, you know, the heavy lifting and then provide sort of the a smaller sample of the most interesting candidates, you know, in your data, for example. That's what then the volunteers can do. There's been some work that I've seen that really shows that the combination of the two provides a sort of unique window that does better than, you know, either technique alone, which is, I think, is, you know, really promising.
Mm-hmm. So it's the machine finds the sort of winnows it down, and then you have humans.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've been talking a lot about the data that you're looking through, mm-hmm. but it's being taken by Meerkat,
yep.
as you said, which obviously isn't a small animal. So could you tell us what exactly is Meerkat?
Right, so Meerkat is a telescope in South Africa, in the Karoo region of South Africa. And as in all areas of astronomy, it's also an acronym. So the CAT part stands for Karoo Array Telescope, because it's an array of telescopes in the Karoo region, and the MIR is Afrikaans for more. So originally the project had 7 dishes, and now they've got more of them, so decided to call it More Cats, basically. And by pure coincidence, I'm sure, that also happens to be the name of the small lovable animal in the area. But yeah, it's a fantastic facility that came online only a few years ago and is really, you know, changing the way we can do this kind of science. And that's only going to get more interesting as it sort of scales up to become part of the SKA in due course.
Mm-hmm. Which is the square kilometre that's being built across South Africa and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously the work that you're doing is specifically designed for these radio telescopes. Could it be applied to other large data sets as well?
Yeah, so some of my work, particularly the stuff with the machine learning, is taking a bit of a leaf out of the book of people who search for optical transients. So this kind of anomaly detection techniques used on light curves, how the brightnesses of our sources changes over time. That's something I've taken directly from that work. So it's already being used quite a lot in anticipation for things like the Vera Rubin Observatory, and it's which is a facility coming online in a few years, maybe, or maybe next year. I can't remember when it's coming online. Which is going to be similarly searching the sky over a long time, looking for interesting transients as well. So very much this kind of technique works in you know any regime where you've got lots and lots of data and want to find interesting weird things.
Well, it certainly sounds fascinating, and because it does have a citizen science aspect to it, is it something that people listening at home could possibly get involved with?
Oh yeah, I mean, the more people get involved, the better. Yeah. Our project is hosted on the Zooniverse website. So if you just maybe Google something like Zooniverse Burst from Space Meerkat, you'll be able to find our project. We're currently out of data. Our volunteers are actually sort of they're almost too good in some sense. Like they process the data and tell us all about it in more time than we can prepare new data for them. So we've got more data we want to show to them, which we're hoping to launch next month. So keep eyes peeled for that. That's where it is. Burst from Space Meerkat. Yeah.
Well, so if anybody is at home wants to get involved, that's how you can go about doing that. And thank you very much for talking to us today, Alex.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Radio Astronomy Podcast. Do be sure to subscribe to get all of the latest astronomy news and stargazing tips. And we hope to see you here next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Radio Astronomy Podcast from the makers of BBC Sky at Night magazine. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at skyatnightmagazine.com or head to Acast, iTunes, or Spotify.